Hello, and welcome back to your one and only source, and happy first day of 2026, you guys.
Happy January
I hope you're listening
1st.
At 5 a.m. on January 1st, because you either haven't gone to sleep yet.
You're coming home from the club.
Because you're coming home from the club, because you're throwing up in an Uber and you're not getting charged because starting on a good foot, starting the year on a good foot, or because you woke up and you hung over and you can't, and sometimes when you hung over and you're drinking a lot and you wake up oily.
Guys, I woke up this morning like
that's Phoebe, by the way. I'm Caroline.
Yes, I'm Phoebe. I woke up this morning like
you're like, I can't believe I slept through New Year's and I missed it all. And now it's 2026 and I'm starting off on this foot.
I'm just like, I don't I want to be in bed, but I can't be in bed tonight.
Well, you can be you can be in bed tomorrow. How about that?
You
know one thing? You'll definitely be back in there at some point. And that's the thing I always say about bed. Like when I wake up and I'm like, I'm so tired, I just want to be in bed. I'm like, at least I'll be back here later. See you tonight. Like, thank God I don't have to say goodbye forever. That would be bleak. Guys, I just want to say, if you had a New Year's Eve last night that was really fun, then you did it wrong. New Year's isn't supposed to be fun. It is supposed to be stressful.
It's supposed to be miserable.
It is supposed to be miserable, stressful, and full of regrets.
I saw two funny TikToks, and then I promise I'll lead. The second one will be one that can kind of push us into the Upper East Side.
I was just gonna say we could each like tell one anecdote from a New Year's, but okay.
I don't really have any crazy stories.
Okay, normally
they're pretty mild. But one TikTok was like, here are your options for your plans on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Number one, pay $100 to go stand shoulder to shoulder in a dive bar you would maybe only go to on a Tuesday.
That is actually a steal.
Spend the whole night waiting to get a drink with one of two drink tickets you were given with the $100 purchase, and you can't get one. And then you go home in
it's
a bad
all
mood.
Well, liquor or warm beer, by the way.
That's what she goes. So you can wait in line for your watered down well drink.
Or Andre champagne toast.
And then she goes, option two. Go to a house party where your best friend spends the entire night making out with a stranger.
Her ex-boyfriend or a
stranger. And your situationship is ghosting you as the night goes on. The third option is you think you're going to recharge before the new year and you're going to stay in and be responsible.
And
but you spend the entire
devastated.
Night going through Instagram stories.
Yes.
Just thinking about how much of a loser you are.
Crying and being like, and I'm starting the year fucking friendless and alone again. That's the kind of year I'm going to have tonight. The kind of night I'm going to have tonight, not year.
And the second TikTok, it was this girl, she goes, I know there are like two worlds going on because I got off the train this morning and I heard a pair of two like girlfriends go, hey, and can I like bring anything to the party tonight? And the girl goes, yeah, if you could just bring vermouth and a flan.
And
what's hysterical is the girl goes, oh, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like besides that.
Yeah. No. She goes, yeah, sounds perfect. I'll see you tonight. Vermouth and a flan.
That's hilarious. Vermouth and a flan is epic. That's
funny.
That's a hilarious
imagine
combo.
Just like,
I thought you'd be like ketamine.
Imagine being the friend or having a friend that just has a flan recipe in their back pocket.
Well, and she probably bought it at a store.
Hey,
see, and by the
Caroline,
way,
you
if
just
I
ruined
ever,
the entire narrative.
If I ever ask you to bring a flan, I mean store bought. Or bakery bought. Girl, don't try to make it for the first time.
It didn't seem like this was this girl's first time.
Well, then she's probably a flan baker.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And everybody knows
Imagine having a friend who has a flan recipe in their back pocket and can just be like, yeah, I'll bring a flan tonight.
When I was making that Blair on a snare thing, which by the way, somebody thought that was a trombone. Someone was like Blair. No, it said trumpet. Blair on a trumpet.
Okay,
someone else said Blair on a casserole. Are you okay?
Guys, I hate saying this. But
tell me you don't have two sisters in percussion without telling me you don't have two sisters
giving,
in percussion.
It's giving... And forgive me for a SpongeBob reference, but
you're not forgiven.
Where Patrick is like, is mayonnaise an instrument? Like, and he doesn't know what, like.
Yeah, I don't know SpongeBob well enough to know that quote, but it is the same energy. Yeah, of course. But I was really wondering about the pronunciation.
Blair on a trumpet is crazy.
I know. I was wondering about the pronunciation. And then they're like, Blair on a drum. I'm like, I mean, it's close, but like, come on, does it rhyme? Really? Give me a break. No, but I was like, what do I do? Dan on a what? And I was like, is it flan or flan? Because I almost did that. But then I was like,
vermouth and flan girl said flan, but
it probably is flan then.
I think it's Spanish.
Inherently with my life, the vermouth and flan girl.
Me too.
Trust her inherently.
And she should make tote bags.
One New Year's Eve story I have that I'll just end this with is it was in college and it was like, okay, every New Year's it's like, which ex-boyfriend will I be making out with, you know? And this party, I mean, I want to say this was probably like, this is hopefully where I stopped wanting to party like this anymore. But I was hanging out at my ex's house. Kelly was there. She ended up leaving, going somewhere else for midnight because I was like, I'm staying here. And I kept getting sick, going and throwing up in the bathroom, coming right back out, hanging out, taking more shots, like literally just rallying. Spend the night at my ex-boyfriend's house, wake up in the morning, and I'm like, well, I'm calling an Uber. Goodbye. I actually don't even think he was awake yet. I go out on the porch. It's fucking freezing, but I'm not waiting inside the house. There's also no furniture in the house, of course, because it's a boy in college and they don't have any furniture. It's just white walls, like the landlord special, white walls and like gray carpet and no furniture pretty much. And I'm waiting on the porch for the Uber to come, and I get in and the Uber seats have Spider-Man sheets like all over all of them. And I was like, okay, he came prepared. I didn't realize at the time how important this detail would be.
Oh my God.
We're driving home from like Southside home, and I am in the car and I'm like, oh my God, like I think I'm gonna throw up. I really think I'm gonna throw up.
That's a bumpy ride.
Holy
too.
Shit. And I'm like, I can keep this together. Like, I am not going to throw up. I'm going to be fine. I was just like, I got this. This is not a problem, Caroline. You're not going to throw up. So then I finally get the courage. We're passing the McDonald's on West Liberty or the Wendy's. Or no, it's McDonald's. And I was like,
there's both right
hey,
there.
Could we pull? Can we actually pull over? Can we pull over really quick? And the guy, like, as he is pulling over. Boom,
no way.
Projectile vomit.
Did it hit him?
I don't know. I've never in my life, like, the way that it was, like, I actually could, and it wasn't one of those things where you can get it on yourself. It was like,
oh my
boom.
God, oh my God.
But
oh
it was
God,
like bile. Sorry if you're afraid to throw up. But it was like, I didn't have anything in my stomach, thank God. And I get out of the car, I finish throwing up, I get back in, I'm like crying. I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like so upset. By the way, before this happened, he told me I didn't even look or seem that hungover.
Or drunk?
This happened. Hungover. It was the morning.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I end up getting home and I was like, oh my God, the charge I'm going to have, like, holy fuck. Like, I'm so stressed. I go inside the house, turn on the shower, keep throwing up. He never charged me.
Oh, wow.
I never got charged for throwing up in that man's Uber.
What a sweet guy.
And I have a 5-star Uber rating that I don't deserve.
That's crazy.
But it's like, okay, that's what manners will get you. And that is what manners will get you. So with that, let's get into one of my favorite episodes of Gossip Girl literally ever. Season 1, episode 5, called
Daredevil.
Daredevil. Daredevil.
You know who you sound like?
Who? Hello, sister. Hello, sister. Boo. 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 That was a good one. Hello, like, sister.
It's like B-A-O is how she says it.
B-A-O. Boo. Boo.
But she says every syllable.
Boo. I mean, I'll get it one day, but it's I believe that like was done, by the way. I believe that was done in one take.
It's almost like she's saying bail.
Bail.
In a British accent. Bail.
Literally. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. In like a Cockney kind of bail.
Exactly.
Cockney bail.
Guys. Yeah,
get me out of the prison.
Good guy.
Get me out of this cell.
Good.
Sister, get me out of this cell. Are we twins? Or what? Or what?
Or worse.
You're gonna get expelled or worse. Oh wait, sorry. You're gonna get yourself killed or worse. Expelled.
And that's how we know she's got both British accents on lock. Guys,
more than two.
Good guy
you.
Nate and Chuck are not in this episode at all.
No, they're not. Did you miss them?
No, but I didn't because I just remembered. And I also just realized
remembered all the iconic shots we got.
I knew that Nate was out because they tell us, but I didn't even notice Chuck wasn't in the
didn't
episode.
Didn't even notice.
Until right now.
I'm sorry, this episode is so crucial about like who I turned out to be. All I've ever wanted is to host a Blair Waldorf sleepover, but I can't because I'm not Blair Waldorf. Much to my own chagrin, I've tried, really tried to be her. We get a montage of these sleepover preparations. We learn that Nate is prepping the family yacht for the season. I'm like, I wonder how things are over with the Archibalds. Uh-huh. And so Blair is free to focus on the most important event of the fall, her annual sleepover, a tradition since the year 2000. Each one more decadent than the last, no expense or reputation is spared.
She's in a flight attendant outfit for the morning.
She literally is ascending the steps in full, like not even business casual. She is giving a presentation to
business
the executive
formal.
Team today.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
100% pencil skirt, blazer, hair pulled back, might as well have a pencil and a ponytail, like Rufus has a pencil behind his ear later, and I'm like, what were you even doing?
writing a song.
I'm sure that's what he wants me to think. I'm like, okay, learning how to write, maybe, like, in cursive. Seems more like something he'd be doing.
You walk into Rufus's apartment and it's the three lines paper, and he's learning how to print.
There are labels everywhere in cursive. He's like, I'm trying to learn how to read cursive. I can't figure it out.
It's all Dan writes it.
Don't know how to read or write in cursive. And Jenny's been into calligraphy. I was like, what do these say? How can anyone read this, Jenny? You're addressing these. They're not going to get where they're going. Can't we read this shit? Anyway, we've got people, a full wait staff running around with like silver platters full of overflowing grapes and like jars of cookies and pillows. And it's just like, is this not what dreams are made of? Like, did this not give you butterflies?
You know, this is not kind of my night. But
that's so crazy to me. Like, I watched this episode so many times over and over, and not just because it was the only one I purchased, but like, I was like, this is the best TV will ever be. Like, this show was written for me.
Well, that I agree with.
It just felt that way. And they all have like clothing racks with their names on it. Now, that's the one thing I'm like, where did the clothes come from?
Well, her mom's a designer.
So are they all Eleanor Waldorf designs is what I'm asking.
Probably.
Okay, cool. But Dan's head of the bank.
With 6 pounds of quarters for his date tonight with Serena. And Rufus is like, you can't just take her to a movie? And Dan says, Dad, you don't understand who this girl is.
Serena Vanderwoodson? You don't just take it to a freaking movie. It's like, well, you actually tried to famously.
Yeah, it didn't work.
He's like, that's why it didn't work out. Yeah, because she didn't want to go to a movie.
Doi. She was with photo shoots.
Doi. I didn't realize Rufus still had the check from Lily. I thought when Lily brought the painting back.
Hey, Rufus, I feel like this is like not legal.
I'm confused about it because he's got this check and Dan's like, should I take it to deposit it when I go to the bank? And Rufus, like, won't answer him about it. And it turns out he still hasn't told Alice in the painting sold, but I'm like,
didn't she want a refund?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really understand, but it is.
Rip the check up, babe. Right?
It's all he's got left of a.
Of who? Lily?
Both of them.
It didn't come from Allison, which, by the way, I can't believe Rufus's ex-wife is Allison DeLaurentis. I mean, they totally skipped that part.
I knew
BLL.
She had a thing for older men, but like,
I was
Rufus?
Like, okay, like literally when I hear, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get there. Dan's like, by the way, I don't think mom likes surprise. Oh yeah, because
Rufus wants to hand
her.
Deliver it.
It's like, I'm going to show up at her house with the check. Can you imagine if he had?
And the man opens the door.
No.
I think we got some bruised knuckles.
Bruised knuckles. And I don't know who they're going to be from. So Dan's like, how about a phone call instead? Like, mom doesn't really like surprises. Remember her 30th birthday with the clown and the llama? And Rufus is like, yeah, that didn't go over well. And Dan goes, yeah, it tanked.
Yeah, that clown was not good. His name was, what was his name? Chris Connell?
What was his name? Pennywise? Yeah, you guys know Dad famously tried to cure me of my fear of clowns by dressing up
as
one.
It just made it worse.
It's like, same thing when Dad dressed up as Santa. Like, don't make the person who's supposed to offer the kid comfort the terrifying thing. Fair. What if they never forget that and now you're the same? Now you're melded into one.
Boy,
I'm not saying that happened to me, but I'm not saying it didn't.
I'm saying it happened to her. And so Dan is like,
parents
don't do that.
Scary.
And Rufus says, I'm gonna call her first to be safe. And Dan, I'm only mentioning that line because Dan says what he thinks is a joke, and he says, need some change for that? This is giving FIBA.
This episode is giving FIBA. Ever heard of Reba? Try FIBA.
Phoebe, circa third grade, 8 years old, walking up to Empire Music Store on Washington Road.
With a bag of coins.
Stole. Not just quarters.
I've been crawling around on the floor for hours. I woke up at 4 a.m, family's all asleep. Sorry, I'm talking like I'm from Brooklyn today because I've been doing Gossip Goyle.
Holy shit.
I just love doing all the IRLs like that. Oil is so funny. Anyway, Phoebe. Sorry, back to Phoebe. I've been crawling around on the freaking floor all freaking morning. Oily Boyd gets the worm. Oh, that's a good one. Oily Boyd gets the worm. I get to do it 3 times. So I love that phrase. Getting it tattooed. And phonetically, of course. Anyway, and she scrounged up all the change that she could. And
what
then
can
she
I
walked
buy
up the Empire by herself. What
can I buy with this?
What can I buy with this?
No, and I put a guitar
litter?
On layaway, and I paid for it in coins in third grade.
That's so funny.
And it is very, shout out Joe, because he did not have to take my coins, but he did.
Do you think Dad secretly went in and wrote a check?
Oh, I should ask him. Yeah. I don't think he did.
Well,
I think everybody thought it was kind of cute.
Well, of course it's cute, but also God,
and they all took a picture with me.
Oh,
and like because I got a Union Jack case for it. This was so my aesthetic at the time. It was a red.
Phoebe was like, "Fuck America."
A red Gibson SG and a Union Jack hard case, classic. And I'm holding it with a fedora and a brown North Face on, and all of what Dad calls my uncles around me as I'm holding it.
Dad's like still obsessed with that.
But you're gonna see your uncles.
Going to see your uncles. Phoebe's going to see your uncles.
They're like all fully grown men with kids.
Well, uncles, a lot of time. They are.
Yeah, but they're not my uncles. They are my uncles.
Okay,
in
hey
spirit.
Joe, if you heard that, you can be mine. Don't be offended by what Phoebe said. She's always sticking her foot in her mouth, as you know.
And so is Dan. We go to school and Serena is fishing around with Jenny.
Just the little sister is looking for. I need answers and I need them now.
And okay, hey Jenny. Bad sibling alert.
Jenny, but also I'm like,
I know that she, but I'm like, you really weren't in the loop on what Dan was going to do with his on his date with Serena Vanderwoodson.
Oh, that is true. Did Dan play hooky today because he needed to go to the bank and he knew it was going to take them all day to count his coins?
I need to make sure they got it right.
He's like, there's a power outage. They have to do this by hand.
This is another Phoebe. I almost said FIBA again.
Okay, if you want to change your name, we'll do it.
And if you say it one more time on this podcast, we're legally changing your name. And that's just that. And that's just that. I used to watch Deal or No Deal in the dark in the basement and on the stool.
Probably allowed to watch it, Fee.
And on the stool, I was setting the mood, like the lights off, watching Deal or No Deal.
Right.
And I had my piggy bank and I would count my money.
She's like, okay, that's a bad, hey, bad deal, bad deal. No one listens to me. No one listens to the goyle and the fedora.
Me, mob boss Phoebe, sitting in the dark
counting
playroom with a fedora on, counting my coin.
With a cigar, and you're all, everyone's like, Phoebe, stop smoking. Phoebe, you're 8. Stop smoking cigars. This isn't healthy. And like, I love the smell. It smells like cherry wood tobacco. Nothing like it.
I'm smoking rings. Rings are coming out of my mouth.
You're blowing O's. Everyone's like, what the fuck?
So anyway. Because, okay, Jenny has no idea what this date is because Serena's like, what? I don't know how to dress for surprises.
But is this not? I'm like, tell me Serena's fetishizing Dan Humphrey
for real
without telling me, because she literally is like, okay, are we going to a secret club to see the best unsigned band in Brooklyn, or a guerrilla art exhibit in Dumbo, or isn't the New York Film Festival still going on? And every time I talk like Serena, it's going to sound completely different and it's never going to be anywhere close.
And you guys aren't
know.
Even really going to understand what she says.
But neither could I.
And Jenny is like, oh my God, this girl is annoying. Wear a fucking t-shirt.
Jenny's like,
it's
only,
casual Friday
oh,
every day.
You only want to be with my brother as an experiment, as a social experiment. I knew it.
Probably
knew
to
it.
Piss off your freaking mom.
Fucking knew. You know what? Wear jeans and a t-shirt. That's all we're good for anyway. That's probably all
right?
We have, right?
Right?
Besides my uniform. Have you ever seen me when I'm not in this uniform? Jeans and a tee. I'm laid back. Where I'm a Humphrey. I'm a freaking Humphrey.
We
live in Brooklyn.
That's what we do.
Can't you smell it? Yeah, I know. It just is so funny, though, like the way that later on Serena, too, like, and she's such a bitch when it's like not the Dan Humphrey experience she thought. And it's like, hey, by the way, Serena, I want you to know, most like real first dates that people go on feel exactly like this, where you're like, oh, and you're not who I thought, who I wanted you to be. And this probably won't happen again. Like,
yeah,
you're just experiencing a normal date. That's what you're experiencing. But the lesson really is just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's like so the lesson. Anyway,
Eric calls and Jenny says, tell him I say hi. And
I say hi. That's what she says.
and Serena.
Eric, hi. Jenny says hi.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, hi back. He does his little wave from the bed. Also, but this poor actor, you have the selfie we see later.
Oh my God. I have a screen.
Get me out
okay,
of here.
And for New Year's, Phoebe and I are both taking similar photos,
like,
and posting
it's
them.
Like that Meg Stalter. She's like, it's great. And then there's some mornings where you just want to scream, get me out of here.
Exactly. That's Eric's whole vibe in this episode. And he's supposed to be being discharged today for the weekend. And he says that his baggage is all ready to go. And Serena goes, speaking of, is mom there? Okay.
Oh my God.
This again, huh? Oh, this again. Great.
And also, hey, Serena, we're going to have a really great moment with Lily that only we get to see and you don't. She's a good mom.
Yeah,
and
she
you
is a good mom.
Suck.
And you actually, there, you suck. So Blair is with the girls in the courtyard. She overhears Serena on the phone with Eric and is like, oh, Eric's coming home. It's perfect timing. It gives your mom and brother alone time together while you are at the sleepover.
Getting drunk on schnapps.
Here's the thing, Serena. I know you didn't forget about the sleepover. I know you know, after what happened last episode at the photo shoot, you're on thin freaking ice. And I know you know that you should have been like, hey, Dan, you'll understand.
We need to do this Saturday.
Yeah. Like, you actually could do it any night of the week because you're Serena and your mom lets you do whatever you want.
Even though you don't want to believe that.
Yes. Even though. Yeah, exactly. It's the whole, all the reasons that you don't like your mom are the reasons that you're allowed to, like, do whatever you want.
Exactly.
You want. But I do think, like, I know Blair is crazy, but I'm like, Serena, bad friend.
Mm-hmm.
Stop acting like you didn't know. I don't believe there weren't, like hand-delivered invitations for this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And you've been going every year since 2000.
Uh-huh.
It's, like, the 10th year of it, probably. Like, I don't know. I would be so mad at Serena if I were Blair. Wouldn't you?
Well, 100%. And honestly, Blair takes it relatively well.
I was shocked by how well she takes it. I also love Blair's outfit here.
And I love that she says, Serena says, I completely forgot about the sleepover, and she says soiree. Sleepovers are so sophomore year. When there's a Waldorf soiree, there is nothing else in the calendar.
There's nothing else on the social calendar. Serena goes, the plan is Dan. Dan.
Remember the guy you've remembered is a human?
The state is unbreakable. Maybe we can stop by later. Who said Dan was invited? It's an all-girl sleepover. Dan can't come. No, you're not going to stop by later. Now, just now you're just lying.
She's not a stop along the way. She's the destination.
I love this line. It's so good. Blair goes, I am not a stop along the way. I'm a destination. And if you refuse to attend, I'm going to have to find a replacement. Girl's the waiting list. I love.
So funny.
Girl's the waiting list. Like, she is on it. But Serena leaves, and I wrote that I was actually impressed with how Blair is not bothered. Like, she even waves goodbye to her, which floored me. And then she sees Jenny. Little Jenny Humphrey. I don't know why I didn't think of you before. You have no plans. You'll come to the soiree. So funny, funny. Jenny, no chill. Me? Really?
And everybody else goes, her? Really?
Yes.
And then they say that she's not going to last an hour. Not a minute more.
Blair goes, a girl's first sleepover. Something she'll never forget. Let's make sure of it. There are so many good Blair lines in this one. You know, when I'm looking for, like, iconic Gossip Girl quotes to be posting and stuff, it's, like, just genuinely Blair. Hard because they're just all Blair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these were being written for her because they said, and you know who else has them? Georgina. They're just so few.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
Like, she just don't get as much Georgina screen time, but mm-hmm. the and two of them together, oh my God.
We go to the Ostroff, and Lily says the doctor said, not so fast.
He said, you can come home, not that you should. I mean, I understand why Lily is scared, but I am like, this would be the weekend to do it. You don't have a massive Ivy week event.
But
tonight.
I also think it's bizarre that we're in this, I don't understand how he is expected to, like, start, like, feeling better.
Yeah.
When this is the constant push and pull. Like, he clearly doesn't want to be in here.
Yeah.
I think maybe we are at a point where we could move him back to the, like, start assimilating him back.
Let's
into
have him doing daily life. Therapy here.
Like, yes, exactly.
He's home. He's not going
maybe
back to
still
school.
Not school.
He has a tutor that comes to the house, and then he comes to the Ostroff Center every
just a
day,
bit of, he's
5 days a week.
How I mean, if loneliness
therapy.
Is the issue,
yeah,
he's just getting lonelier.
He's being completely
there.
Like shut in here. And he's pissed. But I mean, Lily says, if you still think I'm keeping you here, that just proves how not ready you are to come home. And in this moment, it is more like Lily's not ready. Like, she's just so scared. And we see later when she tells
Rufus. She
doesn't
trust herself with him.
She's like, I don't know how to make sure this doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And I know if you're here, you're safe.
Right.
And so, like, that's where
I wish she could,
like,
figure out a way to articulate it to the kids.
I know.
That really
I just think they're
them.
Never going to understand it. But Eric understands more than Serena, which is crazy because Eric's the one in there.
Literally.
So Dan comes to pick Serena up. She's dressed completely casual. I just have to say, Dan gives her an up and down and says, am I early? I would go myself.
Oh,
you
my
would,
God.
I'd be like,
and she says, no. And I'm just running
I'm
late.
I'm running late. And he's
then you
like
hear
kind
a gunshot.
Yeah, then you hear one single gunshot. And Dan's like, well, on to the next one. He tweets,
Blair?
Spotted. Serena Vanderwoodson? Dead.
As a doornail.
Yeah.
And then he called Blair and said, hey, you busy tonight?
Yeah.
I have a driver.
Also, I hate what Dan is wearing. His shirt is so bad. He is like this button-up collar shirt all the way to the top with
it's
a tie.
So
and
it's
just
this
tiny
though.
Little paisley pattern.
I mean,
but it's like this time, but like a bad version of it. It's like, hey, you look like a fish out of water. Obviously, this is not how you dress. You know what I mean?
But it is the suit that Dan Humphrey would wear.
Yes. Did you notice her scarf, her single thread? She is. I am not surprised if you didn't notice it because it is one single thread hanging from her neck. I was like, what is that? Is that her mic like hanging down? No, it's her scarf. She's cold. She's chilly. It's crazy. So anyway, she's going to go change into something less comfortable.
And I am like, this is a nighttime date, Serena. What did you think you guys were doing? You're dressed for a beach
day. She
looks
like she's in a sailor outfit. Like her, she's got a nautical striped tank top that's like cut out with ties.
And she's in floods.
I know. And she's in fucking floods. What are you going, fly fishing?
So Dan does stand by the open door and they talk. They're talking about it and everything. And Dan puts his foot in his mouth. Again, he goes, because she's like, yeah, it's kind of like a government experiment in here.
Like, Serena, shut the fuck up.
And he's like, well, I don't know many government experiences that would have a...
You cannot say experiment if I put a gun to your head.
I don't know many government experiments that have a plasma TV and a housemaid.
TVT plasma TV.
Is that Sydney Sweeney?
It's like, have you ever... Oh, is that Sydney Sweeney? I freaking love her, no reason. I've actually never seen a movie she's
in. When a guy says his favorite actress is Sydney Sweeney, I'm like, okay, slut.
Okay, and when I say name a woman and you say to Sydney Sweeney, I'm like,
you may as well have named a man.
Take him around back. Okay. Anyway, lots of violence on this episode, apparently. So Dan is also peeping, by the way. Hey, Dan, close your eyes. You don't need to look in here. And Lily walks in. This is so funny to me. Does Serena know you're here? He's like, what? She let me in.
At least I think she did. Blonde girl about yay high.
I'm like, also, she's Dan. And then she's much taller than you.
Lily says, oh, it has jokes.
Cute.
But she does kind of have a smirk on her face.
She cracks me up the way she just like kind of gets a kick out of this. And I feel like later on in this episode, she totally would have jumped Rufus's bones if not for Dan and Serena. But not that it stops her later. No. So Lily's like, well, where are you going? And he says, I thought we'd do a walking tour of the Brooklyn Underground and I'd introduce her to my friends, the mole people. They're great, except they only ever eat leftovers. Is that a reference to something that I'm not getting? Because it is funny if it's not.
I don't think it is.
I mean, it's hilarious to me if he's like, I'm going to introduce her to the mole people. They're great, but they only eat leftovers. That's funny. I think. What are mole people?
The people who live in like the abandoned subway stations and stuff.
Ah.
Yeah. They have like a whole society down there, I think.
Whoa.
So that's who Dan makes this joke about. And then he's like, sorry, my mom makes a joke that I've never met a word that I didn't like, which does seem to be the case.
Yes. But then he says, you know what else I like? Your daughter. I really like your daughter, which is a cute moment. And then Serena standing in the doorway like Big Bird. She just like... Like, he goes, I really like your daughter. She's like, in the doorway, wearing a clubbing dress. Okay.
She's like, and I just threw
this
on.
He's like, oh my God, you look more beautiful than I could have imagined. I can't believe we're going to prom. Like, he treats her like she's in a full wedding gown.
And then we have a Georgia Carnal classic, because she looks at Serena and says, so you're not going to wear that with that, are you?
She has like a huge brown tote bag.
It's the same bag she was carrying before. So like, it's clearly the bag she packed though for the date. And she doesn't clearly, because she leaves her phone behind. Which
she's on vlog.
Which is so something to this.
Serena's like, oh, what? I left my phone.
I can't fucking talk today.
You're right.
Aria and Serena, Aria's Dan's cousin.
Uh-huh.
They're going to get along famously.
Oh, my God. Serena, just wait until you come to Thanksgiving at the Humphrey residence.
Oh,
and you
my
meet
God.
Aria.
You're going
to
love her.
You are going to love her. You guys are going to be like, let's just throw our cellular devices in the
water.
And
you know Dan and Ezra are going to get along great.
Unfortunately. Yeah, but they're also going to be like,
it's
going to
be like a
one-upping
conversation always.
We are going to obviously, once we've met more characters, we're going to have to do, like, maybe after season one, one of our Tuesday episodes will be like a Pretty Little Liars.
Exactly. So we switch purses up, but that's such a mom thing to say. You're not going to wear that with that, are you?
But she's right. She's 100% right.
She is.
The bag
and
looks
mom
terrible.
Normally is right, but it is. You know, it's the worst feeling in the world. You walk down and you're like in a pair of shoes.
Well, you know what, though? I would actually be fine with it if mom was doing what Lily is doing here, which is pulling a brand new designer clutch out of a shopping bag she bought today and giving it to Serena. I'd be like, oh, you know what, mom? Let's stay home and hang out. I love you so much.
And then Serena finds out that Eric is quote too tired to come home tonight, and Serena's like, this is so classic you.
Yeah, they're gonna talk about it later, dude. This next part actually like
this is crazy.
Gives me such a physical visceral reaction to how awkward it is.
Again,
Serena walks outside and goes, oh my God, a Vespa? You don't understand, I love Vespas. I spent one of my favorite summers in Italy on a Vespa. My mom won't let me drive because she says that's what drivers are for, but where are the helmets? Dan is watching the whole time, just letting this happen. Oh my God. And then the driver that he basically had to take a mortgage out on the poverty loft to get this driver. The driver's like, Mr. Humphrey. And Serena realizes they're not taking the Vespa. Incredibly bold of you to assume that Dan Humphrey brought you this mint green Vespa. And here's the thing
about this is, like, if I'm Serena, I immediately realize we're having a different kind of date, and I think it's sweet that he's, like, tried to put himself in.
I understand what's happening here. Like, I see.
He knows that you're used to the Nate Archibalds.
And I think what it is Serena's like, wait a minute. I thought I was doing a really good job of projecting that I'm not like other girls.
Exactly.
Like, I thought you knew. I'm different. I don't care about these things. I'm not a material girl. I'm literally skipping the Waldorf soiree. Like,
for this.
I couldn't be less Upper East Side and more Brooklyn. She's Brooklyn. Like, honestly, when I'm in Brooklyn, I'm like, you know how some people say they were born in the wrong time? I was born in the wrong freaking borough.
Drama.
Like,
drama as fuck.
Yes. She's like, is that a dog named Drama's like, welcome to Brooklyn. I actually invented this place. It's where I learned all my manners and how to speak. It's why my accent's Brooklyn. Of course. That's Drama. Drama, we're recording.
So we go to the sleepover. Dorota greets Jenny as she comes up
so
the elevator.
Sweet to her.
She, and it's almost like Dorota knows what's going to happen.
Dorota knows exactly what's going to happen. And she is like, hey, girly, you can, if you need to cry or come hug your doll later, you know where to find me.
Don't worry. I cry
gonna.
Once a
shift. She's like, because you're going to. And if I'm not in the, if I'm in the crying room, just join me.
And
just
I have great Kleenex that are actually, yes. they don't make your nose red.
Blair got them for me for Christmas. So, yeah, she doesn't mind the crying as long as she doesn't see it. Jenny brought her own sleeping bag.
A Hello Kitty comforter.
And all the girls, she like walks in and sees that there are full beds for every girl in the living room. And so Dorota's like, I'll take this. And it is like, I know Blair has a scheme, but also Blair being so excited to see Jenny, it just like,
it feels real.
And imagine how Jenny must have felt. So we get a little Gossip Girl moment where she says, here's a tip, Jenny. The faster you rise, the harder you fall. Hope that Hello Kitty sleeping bag doubles as a parachute. Yeah, and I like that. I'll do the voiceover if you could just give me the percussion right after.
For sure. So we go to the restaurant. We're kind of ordering. Serena orders a $78 duck.
I do get the ick, though, immediately from Dan asking what every single thing on the menu is. Read it. There are descriptions on menus. And if there aren't, then just guess.
Yeah.
Then just order something that you kind of know what it is.
Serena, if you were so... I mean, and maybe this was... It was. Never mind. Serena.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, you guys, we're all seeing it, the new year, new you propaganda, and let me just be the one to tell you, 2026 does not require a new you, but a less burdened you would probably be nice, and I believe everyone deserves that, and I also believe that therapy can really help you get there, and if you have listened to this podcast for even 1 minute, then you probably know that I'm a massive advocate for therapy. It has helped me a lot. For a really long time, the concept of a new year was literally petrifying to me. I didn't want to think about any goals. I didn't want to discuss them. I didn't want to make a vision board or write anything down, because then if I didn't achieve them, to me, it felt like I was a total failure. And that was really scary to me. I had a lot of fear of the unknown. I was plagued with self-doubt and felt this immense pressure. And all of these things together just honestly made me want to shut down. And to tell you the truth, I still feel all of those feelings, but I now know that I can get through these. These are not insurmountable feelings anymore, and therapy has been the biggest game changer when it comes to just how I move through life feeling these tough emotions. With therapy, I'm really able to understand why these fears are so paralyzing and where they're coming from, and then how to work with them instead of running from them. And just knowing that I've got a weekly standing appointment with somebody who is going to offer me this unbiased perspective, help me to see things more clearly, help me to understand my emotions and what's going on, and also just to kind of help me pick up the pieces when things inevitably fall apart. Because I don't know what 2026 is going to bring, but girl, what I do know is there are going to be some rough patches. There are going to be bad days. But I also know that I am strong enough to get through them. Nothing is insurmountable, and I have got an amazing support system to back me up. I want the same thing for you. So in 2026, I want you to reframe therapy as self-care. It is a gift that you can give to yourself, and you deserve it, and BetterHelp can help make it really, really easy. They've got quality therapists. They work according to a strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the U.S., and one of my favorite things about BetterHelp is they have a therapist match commitment. So they're going to do the initial matching work for you so you can just focus on your therapy goals. They will send you a short questionnaire that helps to identify your needs and preferences. And then they're going to use their 12 plus years of experience and industry leading match fulfillment rate, meaning they typically get it right the first time. And they're going to find you someone who is hopefully a total match. And if it isn't, you can switch to a different therapist at literally any time.
They are one of the world's largest online therapy platforms. BetterHelp has served over 5 million people globally, and it really works. They have an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, and that's based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Guys, that's a lot. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You know, if you're on this date with Dan and you think he's so poor, mm-hmm. why are you?
Because she knows she's paying for it.
I guess that's true.
I think she decided when she walked in that she was paying for
it. Which, this is a moment where I know it upsets Dan. Yeah. But I do think, that was sweet of Serena.
It's genuinely a sweet moment. No, I agree. It's a good moment. And it's honestly, it this episode, we see a lot of, both of their eldest daughter come out. Dan and Serena. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's funny that both of their dates so far have involved drama with their younger siblings. Mm-hmm. And, they do show that, they are willing to drop whatever to go be there for their siblings. 100%. And show up that way. But it's also, that moment of, I feel like, most... and you probably feel this way too, you're just always kind of anticipating the moment that makes things uncomfortable or whatever, and your job as an older sibling is to manage the vibes, make sure that everything is kind of, if you can see that something could go wrong and you could fix it, you just do it,
right?
Because it'll be better. So I feel like that's her what she's doing here. She's I'm just gonna take care of this. I also think at a lot of really fancy restaurants, they don't put prices on the menu.
Uh-huh.
So I think she knew, I wonder if the prices had been on the menu, if she wouldn't have ordered that, because she wouldn't have even wanted Dan to be stressed about it the whole dinner.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because he has to ask the waiter how much which also I'm like, Dan! It's just so awkward. She gets up to go to the bathroom. But also, she's not being nice, though, is the other thing.
That is true.
She if you're going to do this, and you know it's going to hurt his pride.
And he's the bathroom's over there. She's I can find it.
I fucking know.
I've been here.
I don't need an escort. Jesus Christ. Stay there. Oh, my God. I don't know. She acts like she's just really bothered by him. And it takes the entire meal before he's did I do something? Uh-huh. What's wrong? Because he finds out she paid the check and he is... upset about it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I just don't want you to spend your money here. I wanted a Dan Humphrey date, just not the date that you thought I wanted.
Mm-hmm. And so we go to the sleepover, and Jenny is, they're trying on all these different clothes.
This song had me in a chokehold. It was also in the Bratz movie,
of course.
Shout out Janelle Parrish. And then because I'm a rock star.
Uh-huh.
A rock star. I loved it. Oh my God. But yeah, Jenny's trying on her looks. One is to Beyonce, one is to Mary Kate, and one is to freaking Hannah Montana, which mm-hmm. Jenny feels the most comfortable in.
For sure. And it's giving, she would feel most comfortable in Hannah Montana, the movie attire.
Yes, 100%.
When Hannah Montana has to strip down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's going back to her roots.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so one thing I always, always, always have had to say about this. So Jenny comes down in a yellow dress, uh-huh. and it is kind of funny because I feel like Serena is very often in the golds and yellows, and... Mm-hmm. Obviously, later on, they think Jenny is Serena when she's described a certain way. But, that is real. It's almost like they're dressing her up to fully just replace.
Wait, it's honestly
Serena.
Very low-key similar to... But the way that we see Jenny's art go throughout the show, it's like Hannah.
Yes.
When Allie comes back.
Oh, very
and
much.
And Hannah is like, I have to change everything about myself.
Mm-hmm. And she just kind of makes herself into a copy of what she thinks Allison would...
Well, she... No, but then when Allie comes back, she puts the... The black streaks
True,
in her hair,
yeah.
and she starts and she starts drinking a lot. She starts wearing her freaking combat boots.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Jenny and Hannah were in. They were chatting. They were chatting, and they are planning these outfits out together. Anyway, yeah. So Jenny comes out in this yellow dress, which I think looks like a pretty average homecoming dress.
Uh-huh.
Later on, they're talking about it being a cocktail napkin. I'm like, this is not a slutty dress.
No.
This dress could be so much sluttier. But the other thing I need to say is, and I wonder if you noticed this, there are two super long pieces of fabric that hang down that I was always tie it back.
I don't think
I
noticed that.
And they never do. And every time I watched this episode, I was like, are you not supposed to fucking tie that? When I buy a dress that has those long things, am I not supposed to tie them?
I think you are. But it's just,
but certainly they would have if she was supposed to. I don't know. I wonder if anyone else noticed that. I'm gonna post a picture of it, But this has haunted me for years.
Jenny does not feel quite right. And Blair says, well, fashion knows not of comfort.
Yeah, she goes, as my mother always says.
Your face looks like it's going to a bar mitzvah. And then she offers Jenny a martini.
But before we continue the renovation, hilarious to call this makeover a renovation.
So funny. And Jenny says, oh, that's okay. I don't like vodka. And Blair says, well,
that's
good.
That's nice because this is gin.
As it should be.
So
and
good.
Then they're going to play Truth or Dare. And Jenny says, oh, my God, I love Truth or Dare. I once had to eat an entire bag of marshmallows.
That's nice, but that's not how we play. And she has such a funny, her face changes from a smile to boom. That's not how we play. And Jenny's like, well, then how the fuck do you play? Also, did you notice Jenny's bangle? She has on like a white acrylic bangle that's super thick and has multicolored rhinestones on it.
No, but that's gross.
I'm like, no way Blair Waldorf picked that out. Uh-uh. Anyway, so they're going to start playing and we see that the first dare happens. Cotty and Iz are making out. And Jenny's like, I think I'm going to go truth.
Okay, Heather Gay. Heather Gay when Bronwyn and Whitney kiss.
Heather Gay's like, what?
I'm woke, but not like this. Yeah,
I might be a bad Mormon, but I'm not a bad Christian. Oh my God. Anyway, Rufus is shutting down at the gallery. He's like, should I call my wife? He calls her. A man answers the phone and he hangs up and he's like, definitely
he's
got the wrong number.
There are people on this earth that tonight on New Year's Eve are going to be doing what Rufus is doing right now. They're going to be like,
100%. And they're going to get mad when someone else answers the phone and it's like, it's a party, babe. It's New Year's Eve.
Why are you even calling?
Why are you calling?
Who uses a landline anyway?
Exactly. So then he calls back and he's like, I must have the wrong number. No, he did not. It's her mistress. It's Allison's mistress who answered the phone. A man.
It's Olivia Wilde.
It's Olivia Wilde. And she's like, babe, is the dressing ready? And we told you about this, so this shouldn't be a surprise to you. So we're back to the worst date ever. Oh, we already kind of went over all of this, but basically he's now going to take her on a real Dan Humphrey date. And we get S and Lonely Boy, Lighter Than Air. Oh, they're walking on air as they walk out of there because Serena's going to get a fucking real Brooklyn date, a real Dan Humphrey date.
Uh-huh. So we go back to the sleepover and Blair sees that Jenny got a text from Eric.
Yes, this is the
test.
In prison.
Get me out of here.
And a selfie of Eric with his hand in his hair. doing the biggest scream he could possibly freaking do. Phoebe is going to recreate and then we're going to post that so you can get a picture of it. Because it was so weird. I tried to take a picture of it when it happened. It wouldn't let me. And it was like, you have to get your own. It was like, if you want to show someone what this looks like, you have to recreate it yourself.
Right,
so Phoebe will do that.
Right.
But we realize Eric didn't go home for the weekend. And Blair's like, oh, okay. Wheels are turning. She tells Isabel to take the girls to Visconti and she's going to meet them there. And we have Blair and Jenny alone. And she's like, I dare you to jailbreak Eric. It's perfect. You want in. He wants out. What's it going to be? Do or die, little Jay.
Let's do it.
And Jenny's in.
And then Jenny does a big rock star kick and kicks over one of the clothing racks.
And Blair's like, jump out the window. Hey, now, Jenny, jump out the fucking window. Dare.
Change my dare.
Dare. Jump out the window. I used to fucking love this scene of Blair. I was like, and that's an actress. And that's a real life actress, Emmy nom incoming. She's so funny with the scene at the Ostroff Center.
Blair.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, it's not for me, but.
Why don't you think it's funny?
It just doesn't do it for me.
I think that, like.
I hate when lipstick is smeared like that, too.
Okay, well, I wasn't distracted by that. I think she's being hilarious. Here's what she does, guys. She goes, I have a very big problem.
Jenny walks into Eric's room and is like, we're going to get you out of here. And he's like, but the doctors. And then that's when we cut to Blair's distraction.
They're distracting the nurse at the front desk. And the nurse is like, what have you taken? She goes, caffeine, nicotine, ketamine, GHB, PCP, LSD, diazepam, lorazepam, all the PAMs, really. No, I don't discriminate. And then the girl is like, all right, I'm going to go get a doctor. You stay here.
Meredith
Marks. And I love a cappuccino. Yes, so Meredith Marks. But it's so funny because at the moment the girl goes to get the doctor, Blair grabs her purse. Like the girl's going to steal it from her. Like it's just like little funny moments like that. And then Blair rushes in to get Eric and she says, I heard you were bored and I figure I owe you one. And I will say also, I just do love Blair and Eric's relationship.
Me too, I agree. Blair longs for a gay best friend.
Totally. So Lily gets the call that Eric is missing, and they say that he left with someone young, blonde, and beautiful.
Hey,
that's Serena.
I don't think anybody, when someone calls and says,
Your son's missing from this mental rehabilitation center.
I just don't think beautiful is one of the adjectives making their way.
He left with a freaking dime piece.
Good on you, Eric.
Good on you, I didn't take him for a player. Honestly, wondered if he was queer. But no, he left with someone young, blonde, and smoking freaking hot. I mean, sorry, beautiful. She might be 14, so I'll just say she's a really beautiful young girl. I won't say that she was freaking jailbait, which is what she was dressed like, just so you know. We'll get that later. So Lily calls Serena. She left her phone at home, of course. Dan and Serena at a dive bar. Phoebe's like, get me in. Put me in, coach. Phoebe's like, okay, didn't know you wanted a Phoebe Connell date.
Pool is not for me.
Are you bad at it?
I don't know how to play it. Don't like it.
Well, you could learn like Serena.
No, that's okay.
You know Serena's hustling him? If I remember correctly, Serena's really good at pool, and this is all
she's learning a ruse.
No, she knows how to play already.
Oh.
I think we find out later. I thought it was in this episode, but I do believe we find out later that she already...
Sounds like something she'd do.
You didn't spend an entire summer in Italy on a Vespa and like not and you don't know how to play pool. You know what I mean? I feel like Serena's probably like, oh, yeah, I actually had someone in the mafia teach me how to play pool like a few weekends ago. You were busy. You know, like that's just, of course she would know.
And she says, okay, now it's my turn. Rack them up and I'll buy the soundtrack.
Yeah, which I can't wait to talk about what her soundtrack is. So then Rufus gets a call. He answers. This is so funny.
This better not be my wife.
Lily, Rufus, do you always answer the phone like that?
That made me laugh so hard.
Lily and Rufus are hilarious in this episode. She needs Dan's number. I'm also like, okay, hey, Rufus, you know your son is on a date with her daughter. Just give her your fucking son's phone
number. And also, like, clearly something's wrong. Like, it's not your job as someone else's parent to be like, but that's not a big deal.
And you guys are telling you it's a big deal. So, like, she doesn't have to tell you, like, exactly. But, like, it's like, even if there wasn't anything wrong, my daughter left her phone here and she's on a date with your son and we know each other. Uh-huh. So, like, give me your son's number.
Yeah.
That's, like, not like a weird thing. For sure. It's weird that Rufus won't give it to her. And so she ends up
in this household, we trust kids.
I freaking respect my son's privacy. I trust him. Why don't you? Do you not trust your daughter?
Because he lives in Brooklyn.
Oh, great. You know what? I told you this.
And
I think
that's
exactly the kind of guy that Serena should be hanging out with, Lil. So anyway.
We go to the club. Finance bros are trying to get with Blair. And she says, my answer is normally never say never, but I'll make an exception for you.
I love you, Phoebe, but just like every time you do these iconic lines, you just like mess them up.
That was right.
No, it's just like the wording was wrong. And I'm not gonna read it because everyone's gonna be like, Caroline, give her a break. The wording was slightly wrong, but like it matters.
What was wrong about it?
It's my answer's usually, you said normally. My answer's usually never say never, but for you, I'll make an exception.
Guys, I got one word wrong.
Well, you also said I'll make an exception for you. So you switch those around. It's okay, but it's like it was written that way for a reason. Like respect the written word. You know what I mean? Maybe it's English major.
Oh my fucking God.
What would Finchie say? Finchie would say, read what I wrote.
Oh.
I wrote that for a reason.
Hey, Caroline, you wanna put yourself in Finchie's shoes.
She'd say, read what I wrote.
You're really going to twist the words of a cancer patient?
By the that is low even for you.
Even for you, Ellen. Pompeo.
If that is your real freaking name.
You know what? Everyone here calls me Finchie. It's kind of degrading. What if I started calling you Pompey?
Or Pompous. How about that? Yeah, Pompous. Quit the show, bitch. It's been enough. The show's named after you. Is that not enough?
She looks at Shonda. Put me in, coach.
No one
will even notice.
I didn't want to tell anybody that I'm an Emmy award-winning actor, too.
No one will even notice if I'm Meredith Grey next episode.
I look a lot like her. I don't wear makeup to work because I'm sick. Like, but when I do wear makeup, I look spitting image of Meredith Grey. And I know how to do surgery for real. I've been operated on enough. I said, leave me awake for these ones. I want to learn. I'm ready to learn. It's for work. Like, that's what I said when I got surgery done.
That's why you don't have a scar.
That's why I don't have a scar. Because I watched them do the surgery and said I want to learn. Famously, if you watch the surgery and you're awake for it, you don't scar. It's only if you go under anesthesia that you scar. So, and I don't. I do want to say, guys, I've read like so many books in the past couple weeks, which is crazy. I read 5. Yeah, bragging. But the one I just finished is called Best Offer Wins. And the girl who is the main character and the narrator gives massive Finchie vibes. And I think that you guys would like it. Anyway. Okay. So, we're still playing Truth or Dare at Visconti, and Jenny dares Blair to go make out with the guy and mean it. And Blair does it, no freaking problem. Takes me back to college. I used to be like, okay, pick a guy. We're rocking in a bar, pick one. And they'd be like, Caroline, be like, pick one.
It's like,
pick
one. Caroline, like, Caroline,
you and me, let's go.
Caroline walks into the bar and she's like, okay, guys, fine. Pick one.
Pick one.
Fine. I if you guys are going to beg me to make out with someone,
literally.
Pick one.
I mean, it's a miracle I didn't get oral herpes in college. And just so you guys know, you can. And just so you guys know, if you just make out with people willy-nilly, you might. I'm just telling you that.
Avoid people with open sores.
Yeah, if it is an open sore, maybe try again tomorrow or in a few days. Get them some Neosporin and then cross your fingers. You can kiss them again another time.
Probably, cross your fingers.
Probably the option will still be there. Okay, so Blair goes and makes out with the guy, and then she hears about Amanda, his girlfriend. Blair, a little sticky finger, swiper, no swiping, took his phone while they were making out. Didn't even see it happen. I'm like, she's good.
And
I'm like, oh, she's good.
She dares Jenny to call his girlfriend. Did you just say that?
No, I just said she found out. But yeah, she dares Jenny to call his girlfriend. And then she does, and she's like, I just had my tongue down your throat, and he neglected to mention you existed until after it was over.
Oh, now we're going to talk about botched lines.
Well, I didn't write this one down, because this one's not that iconic.
Hi, my name is
Claire.
And she's like, she's doing this.
Jenny, why were you going to say your name was Blair?
She, like, has her head, like, up to, and she's like looking down. She's like looking down at Blair. She's like,
Claire. And Blair's like, okay, it's not her well. I'm like, and not then, that well. She could have just said Jenny.
I just had my tongue down your boyfriend's throat.
And what is her accent? It's like a California accent. I just had my tongue down his throat. I just had my tongue down his throat, and he neglected to mention you existed until after it was over.
You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of Reese Witherspoon.
Until after it was over. I can't do it. I don't know, but it's throat. I don't know.
But
anyway,
go back
to the sleepover the freaking year. They're having a great time.
Go back to the dive bar. Dan wins, and as promised to Serena,
she's like, I can't believe I keep losing. I'm normally so good. Oh my God. But you did say if I kept losing, I could back that ass up and you teach me.
And then Caroline say it. This is my song.
This is my song. It's Ozzy Osbourne's Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Oh, this is your song, Serena? Have you ever heard this before? Dan, she's like at the jukebox. She's like, okay.
I was like about to say she Googled on her phone, like what would be like a deep cut for this dive bar to play. She has chat, but she doesn't have her phone. So she just somehow pulled this out of thing. She literally went rando mode on the jukebox.
She went absolute rando mode.
This is my freaking song. And someone else over there is like, our wedding song, babe, you played it. That's so sweet. And they start slow dancing. And she's like, don't look over there. This is my song. I picked it.
And he's like, I didn't know you liked this kind of music. And she says, it's clear you don't know much of anything.
It's a lot you don't know about me. Like, I'm having the best time right now.
And then they get really close.
That I know.
They're like just about to kiss almost. And she goes, there's something vibrating in your pocket. And I really hope it's your phone.
I'm like, really? Do you though? Because you've been trying to get in his pants all night. It's obvious.
All night, girl. Rufus is calling. And Dan's like, look, he wouldn't call if it wasn't important.
Yes.
And Serena's like, oh, my God. I thought this date was unplugged. I left my phone at the apartment for a reason.
You literally couldn't unplug for one night to be with me?
This isn't going to work.
Okay. What are you, Gossip Girl or something?
Let me call my favorite documentary maker, Carter Basin.
Yeah, exactly. I'm calling him. Anyway, Dan's like, hey, you got to call your brother right now. So we go to the loft. There's a knock. Lily barges in. She goes, I made some calls. Turns out none of my people know your people. Dan Humphrey is either an alias or your son is not very popular.
And
Rufus loves going to Brooklyn.
She loves
Rufus
it.
Rufus never comes to the Upper East Side. She is in Brooklyn twice a day.
Mm-hmm. She is. And she's like, I'm not going to have any of that liquor that you're having.
The non-premium liquor.
Will take something to eat. Thanks for offering.
You still know how to cook, don't you? And I do kind of love this scene because I feel like I'm skipping ahead a little bit. But like them in the kitchen tells us so much about how good they were together. Mm-hmm. They immediately just like fall back into like the small, but not small talk, like talking about like actual things, but it's almost like they have this like system that's like muscle memory, like making the salad dressing, passing the bowl, like, you know what I mean? Like
100%.
They just, and they're referencing how like Lily needs more salt. And he's like, oh, you always had to be in control. And just so many things to like, we just keep getting, this is a big episode for clues about like their past. And I just, again, I think Rufus and Lily were like meant to be.
I agree.
Even though I can't stand Rufus and I love Lily, but okay. So anyway, we go back to the club. Dan and Serena walk in. They're looking for Jenny and Eric at the same exact time that Amanda, the girlfriend, walks in.
I thought this was Claire Danes.
Yeah. Could you imagine? And mom goes, ugh. Like I said, she's always playing someone who's just agitated. And she's always peeing or throwing up.
And then I thought it was one of the actresses that played Kate, Hannah's sister, and it's neither of them.
It's just like some girl who thought this was her big fucking break.
It's one of those faces. It's like, who is that?
Wait, I just realized. But I can't wait. We're gonna get Laura Lee. We're gonna get Laura Lee from Vanderpump soon.
Oh.
Oh my God! You know who I'm talking about?
Who does she play?
She goes on a date with Dan, and they put like Veet in her hair, and her hair starts coming out in clumps at the bar.
I remember.
It's kind of epic.
And so everybody starts fighting because Amanda's come down and she finds her boyfriend, and then she's like, "Which one of these fucking whores did you make out with?" Yeah. And it's like, I immediately don't trust or like or enjoy
the girl that's not the girl who's not mad on the girl's side.
Exactly, it's his fault.
Yeah, exactly.
How were they to know that he was he was flirting with them?
Yes, he's a disgusting piece of shit. And also, like, she confronts the guy, and then the guy like confronts Blair kind of aggressively, and Dan steps in to like protect her, and then Serena tries, and Blair's like,
I don't need
fuck
you to
off.
Defend me.
Hey, you slut, fuck off. Hey, whore, fuck off.
And then Amanda goes, finally something we can all agree on.
Yes. Jenny speaks up. It was actually me who called you. And they say, so she's the one with the tongue, not what Dan wanted to hear. And Blair explains that they made out on a dare, and Amanda's like, what are you, children? And Dan says, pretty much, she's 14.
And the man goes, well, look what she's dressed like freaking jailbait.
Look at her, she's jailbait. The way he says it is so funny because he like almost, it's almost like they weren't sure if they wanted to keep that line in. They're like, can you just kind of like throw it away? We really want to keep it, but it's a little, can you throw it away? She looks like freaking and he says it like Caroline's accent.
He like doesn't move his lips. He's like, she looks like freaking
his face turns purple trying to squeeze out the words. It's so funny. So, but it is disgusting, you fucking psycho.
Yeah. Serena and Dan take Jenny and Eric away, and we go back to the loft, and this is where the cooking scene happens, and Lily finally opens up to what was actually going on with Eric.
Yes. She says he's not a bad kid, just a lonely one. And Rufus is like, oh, well, how lonely? And she goes, lonely enough to try to kill himself.
Yikes.
And she says, I just don't know what to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. And Rufus is like, well, all you can do is be there for him. And then the phone rings, Saved by the Bell. They find out that Jen and Serena have Eric. Everyone's fine. Lily's going to go meet them, but this food isn't going to travel well. And
it's a shame to let it go to waste.
So they're going to have a little dinner date first.
So we go outside the club. Serena's pissed at Blair and Eric. And
I like low-key thought Serena would be happy, honestly, that Blair did that. Like, I thought she'd be like, yes, let's stick it to my freaking mom. No, but like, she wanted to be the one to do it.
I think she's pissed, yeah, that Blair did it. And like, Serena was like, doesn't get to be in trouble now.
Exactly. She just wanted to be have a reason to be like, mom, you know what? You just don't get him like I do. You don't know what he needs like I do. I have to go. You know, I don't know. Anyway, Eric is like, I wasn't kidnapped. I wanted to leave, and Blair was trying to do me a favor. And he says all the trouble that he's in is worth it because he had like such a great night. And
he said
like,
it was nice to talk to someone who wasn't you or mom. And then he looks at Blair. No offense. She goes, none taken. She's standing behind Eric like her fucking lawyer. She's like,
yes,
none taken.
She's like, and my client is okay with the trouble he might get in. I'm going to take the fall. It's okay. And my client isn't going to be speaking to you right now.
Except they do, because Eric and Serena kind of like figure out how to get back into their groove, and like,
this is
let's
so
walk
funny.
Home. Yeah. And Blair goes, call me. And then Serena goes, I will.
I was talking to Eric. Slut. Whore. I was talking to Eric, your brother.
As Serena and Eric walk away, Blair stays stationary in front of the club waiting for her car and is like, whore.
Slut. You look slutty, by the way, in that dress.
Go get tested.
Don't call me. I don't know what STDs are contagious through the freaking phone. I don't want to get it through the phone transmitter. My God, slut. Do you guys know Serena's a massive whore or what? Anyway, so Dan is now confronting Jenny. Like, we're having all our sibling meeting of the minds. He's like, this isn't who you are. Come with me. And she's like, I'm going with my friends.
I'm going with my friends.
And Blair calls her, and Jenny goes, look, I know who Blair is, and I know who those girls are, but I also know who I am.
And I'm not going to forget who I am just because I hang out with them.
But it's also so, just because I hang out with them. It's like, girl, you barely hang out with them. You've hung out with them thrice, maybe. And it's been like accidents.
So Dan's going to go walk with Eric and Serena, and Jenny's going to go with the rest of them. And we go to the exterior of Eleanor Waldorf's store, and Blair says, break in there. The truth and dare is still going on.
This just in. Truth or Dare has gone into overtime. Looks like no one told little Jay, you don't beat a Waldorf at her own game.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely don't. And so she's going to have to steal this jacket from the mannequin. And Bear goes, you totally don't have to do it. It's just a shame because you've come so far.
Mm-hmm.
And she does give Jenny the keys. I'm like, this is barely breaking in.
Yeah. Kind of dramatic.
The way that this scene like had me in a cold sweat.
Oh, I know. I'm sure.
Oh, my God. That. As soon as Jenny goes in, the girls do a countdown, run away, door locks, alarm sounds.
Uh-huh.
And holy fuck.
So we go back to the loft and Lily's looking at pictures on Rufus's wall. Are you still the same guy you were in this picture? And he's like, you weren't even at that show.
When I took this picture.
You were not that show.
And she's like, oh, I was. And she starts saying like every detail about it. She remembers what she was wearing. She remembers like all these things. We find out they've traveled the world together.
We see the stack of plates that Rufus is taking away. They did not touch that fucking salad. You just see leaves.
I would have eaten it. Like, it looked good. They made a homemade Caesar dressing.
Gorge.
Blurt.
But yeah, when
amazing.
You look at the plates, I'm like, what the fuck did they eat?
Apparently, Lily was like a big photographer, but she gave it up.
I went through like 8 rolls of film that night.
Wow, girl. She gave it up because, quote, social climbing would be more fulfilling.
This moment, imagine the satisfaction Lily is walking home with.
Because literally Rufus is like, they're talking about how he doesn't think she was there. He doesn't remember. He doesn't even think she took the photo. She's giving every detail. She goes, I even remember the black dress I was wearing. And he goes, if I remember correctly, it was blue. And she's like, I thought you didn't remember.
No, I'm
I was
at the
there.
Next moment because the phone rings. And Lily answers it thinking it's the kids. And Allison answers and she's like, Rufus? And she goes, no, it's
Lily. I mean, I'm sure she felt that, but I also feel like she felt bad.
Well, she did. But she also, she feels bad for Rufus, but she is going home like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally.
Then
and
we go.
Rufus is like, don't worry, Lil. I don't owe her any fucking explanation right now. She's just like your daughter, freaking slut. Just kidding. So Jenny's talking to the cops.
And she pulls a Blair Waldorf,
it's
literally.
So funny, though. They're like, we need ID. She's like, I'm only 14. I don't have any. But my name is Blair Waldorf, and this is my mother's shop. And you can watch me lock up. I've got my own set of keys, and like that'll prove it. And that works.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that works.
Which is so Blair Waldorf.
It is so Blair Waldorf.
So we go back to Dan and Serena, and they're reminiscing about their sisters. Their
they drop Eric off.
Their siblings is what I meant to write. And she's like, they're talking about Jenny, and Serena does make a good point. She's like, it's not bad that she wants to be friends with the people that she goes to school with.
Exactly.
And Dan says, I'm not. And she goes, yeah, and if we were, we probably would have met a lot sooner.
Yeah, and then maybe you would have already kissed me by now.
Exactly.
One other thing, though, Dan annoys me so much with this because, like, he's like, I just didn't think, like, what happened to my tomboy little sis? I didn't think she was in having makeup, her face all painted up, her hair teased to the freaking heavens. Like, what happened to my freaking tomboy little sis I used to skateboard with and throw on a freaking pigskin in Central Park? I think that's basically what he's saying. Anyway, so then they stop and kiss in the streets of New York City. And it's like, okay, this is romance. Okay, it was the blueprint. It was like we had our Ezria parking lot kiss, mm-hmm. and then there was like this kiss. These were the big
kisses.
And
don't forget the Eponine kiss.
Well, oh yeah, sorry, no, that really
that
is the
was really
one.
The one. Ooh.
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 You could have kept going, we would have done a harmony.
No, but I don't think we were singing the same melody. Yeah, there we go.
Down.
Sorry.
Anyway, oh my God. And then the door opens in the pub and Wayne, and we hear on my own. Anyway, okay, so
her in her fucking Dobby boots.
Danny, I was gonna say. Rufus is at home listening to his own music, his own records. Except for it's not his own song, obviously, because then we start hearing it, and it's that song that's like you know that song?
It's the song that plays at this point in the
episode. Oh, okay. So Lily's in the Oshkosh Center checking on Eric.
Kind of really sweet.
Wait, so sweet. And she's actually like coming to take him home so we can have a good night's sleep in his own bed. And she basically is just like, I don't know how it's going to work, but like we're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And again, not bad for a bitch who has no maternal bone in her body.
Yeah, Serena, fuck you.
I love this moment.
We go to the Waldorf. Jenny shows up. She walks in and she goes, what? Blair says, wow, looks like you came to play after all.
Jenny goes, catch. throws Blair the keys. What if it hit
Blair
her
in the
face?
Head and it knocks her
keys
out.
Sticking out of her cheek, and she's like, "Jenny, you're dead meat. You'll never be coming in the city again." You stay in Brooklyn.
Stay in Brooklyn. I'm going to burn down the bridge. You never make it back. Oh, right. You take the subway. What's a subway?
Okay. Anyway.
Is that a restaurant?
Subway. Anyway. So all the girls are asleep and Blair is like, okay, well, you know, which bed is yours? Like, you've earned it. And Jenny's like, no, I'm going home. And Blair says, what do you mean? No one ever goes home from a sleepover.
Well, there's a first for everything.
Oh, and I'm keeping the jacket. If that's okay with you.
And then she goes, and Blair, Monday?
Monday.
Lunch on the steps? You know, Taylor Momsen is eating this up. Oh, she loves it.
I'm like, girl, look at how good we had it. Like, why'd you have to go and ruin everything? Then we get the slow-mo whip around
glam
the hair.
Cam glam.
Can we absolutely are getting, what is that actually called? The glam bot. She walks into the elevator.
Wait, why isn't it called the glam cam?
Probably already exists.
Ugh.
Because it's a robot, though.
And
anyway.
Gossip Girl says, a debut not seen since Blair's herself.
And you botched it. Yep. Uh-huh. yeah. Word is, Jenny Humphrey killed at Blair Waldorf's sleepover. It was a debut the likes of which haven't been seen since Blair herself. If Blair's got to watch her back, Serena needs to keep an eye on her heart. We hear it may have been stolen by Lonely Boy. Putting out an APB. Gossip Girl. and we see Dana and Serena ferociously making out in the cobblestone streets.
Running through the streets
apparently
of New
it
York.
Apparently it rained. Puddles everywhere. When did it rain? I missed
they're
it.
Not so.
Were we in Visconti when it rained? I missed that. But I was going to say Dan really was excited to end the night with this Gossip Girl message. Mm-hmm. He's like, Jenny's top dog and so is freaking Dan. Not bad for the Humphreys.
Not bad for a couple kids from Brooklyn.
Not bad for the kids from Brooklyn. I love being from Brooklyn because I can take over the whole island, even from here.
Okay,
drama,
go to your crate.
This is not your podcast, babe.
All right. Season 1, episode 6, The Handmaiden's Tale. Oh, no.
What?
You're going to hate this first sentence.
Okay.
Dan's childhood friend returns home
no!
and declares her
and
feelings
here.
For him. Dan's childhood friend returns home and declares her feelings for him at the masquerade ball. Blair sends Nate on a scavenger hunt.
Oh.
Disguised Jenny and Dan sneak into the ball. Lily asks Rufus to accompany her to an Eleanor Waldorf event.
This is such a crazy episode, and Lily, that's insane. We'll talk about that next week. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Please, 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 if you don't mind, leave us a 5-star review, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. If you're on the Patreon, we put out a bunch of episodes of us just gabbing. So if you're missing those pop culture, reality TV moments over the past month, go to the Patreon. They're all there. We are going to be getting into our Tuesday schedule starting soon. Let us know the types of things you'd want to hear in those. Think of it like a punch bowl episode. But let us know if there's anything specific. I'm thinking about setting up a little hotline so you guys can call in and we can go through some of those too. So watch out for that. We love you guys so much. Happy 2026. We're excited to spend another year with you. We're your one and only source. And we'll see you next week.
And splat.
Really, we'll see you next year because we recorded this in 2025, last day of the year.